Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Abraham Hamilton III, and I am so enjoying this conversation. We're talking about leadership in our family and about how homeschooling plays into that, and family discipleship and all of the things that matter when it comes to family and educating our kids. It's not just about the academics. Of course, we talk about that all the time. Academics are important, but they are not the most important thing. And another verse that continues to come to my mind, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, is Joshua 22:5. And it says, "Only be very careful to observe the commandment of the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." And that is what it's all about. That's what it all comes down to. It's the academics really do matter, because we need the academics to point our kids towards Jesus. But what matters the most is that we teach our kids to obey his commandments, to keep them, to cling to him, to serve him with all their heart and with all their soul. But unless we're doing that ourselves as their parents, our kids are never going to learn to do that. You know, we talk about Luke 6:40, which, you know, says that a student will become like his teacher. Well, we are the ones teaching them. And if we're not the ones teaching them, who is the one who's teaching them? And what are they being taught? You mentioned, Abe, a little while ago, how it's not the job of the youth pastor or the church or the schools to train up our children. It's our job as their parents. Yeah. I mean, God has given us a big role and a big responsibility in doing that, but he equips us to be able to do that.
Absolutely. He equips us to be able to do that. And it's just, you're absolutely right. You search the scriptures, you'll find that the word of God says that it is the parents' responsibility. It doesn't mean that the local church doesn't have a role. I alluded to it earlier. The church's role is in a support position. It's secondary to our role as parents. But we as parents are the first responders in this area. And I often pray, Lord, that may my children come to know you in light of my example, not in spite of my example.
Right.
You know, because God can do miraculous things. But my prayer is that I would not be an impediment to them coming to meet him and saving faith, but that I would be an on-ramp, that would be a runway for them to meet him. And so Deuteronomy 6 says it plainly, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall teach this to your children. The first component of disciple making is that we have to be disciples ourselves. Right. You know, we can't sell what we hadn't purchased.
That's right.
You know, and the truth is that our children know the distinction between those who are casually curious about the Lord and those who have been captured by him.
Right.
There's a football field's worth of difference between the two.
Oh, I love that you say captured by him. Because, it's not just a game that we play. It's not just a, well, I believe in God. I know that he's real. I know that he created the earth. It's, no, do we really have a passion for a relationship? Do we desire to know him better? And when we have that desire, hopefully our kids will cling to that and follow along with us. We can't force them to do that, but hopefully they'll see the joy in our lives. And man, being a parent is the most humbling thing, is it not?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. It gives you an opportunity to also teach your children how to repent.
Right.
Which is a critical component, you know, of following the Lord, is that if you miss it, when you miss it before them, that we have the humility, the integrity, and the love for God, quite frankly, that we humble ourselves and say, man, I missed it on this one, guys.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And it's, you know, being a parent is so different than being a spouse. You know, as a wife, we, Garrett and I were married for 11 years before we had our first daughter. And so for a long time, you know, we would go, we would have our disagreements and stuff and then apologize. But, you know, we're kind of our own people. We were adults kind of established in our own ways. We didn't follow each other's example, really. You know, I mean, to a point, you kind of do. But kids, it's a completely different thing. You know, our kids are little us. You know, they become, at least in the early years, you know, they do things the way that we do them. If we love baseball, they're going to love baseball, typically. If we love, shopping, they're going to probably love shopping. If we love Jesus, they're going to hopefully follow in our footsteps and love Jesus, but we have to show that to them. I want to talk on kind of the last point, and then I want to move on to some other things. But we talked about kind of the three different leadership, spiritual leadership roles that you play, and it's family. You said family was the first one. Mm-hmm. Church would be the next one. And then society, you know, you've got a national radio show, and you really kind of have your hands in different parts of culture. And I'll even say of this culture war that we're in. How are you able to influence in your role as a spiritual leader, the culture around you?
Yeah. So in my role through my radio program, the goal that I seek to accomplish is to cultivate a biblical grid through which we navigate the issues of the day. And so it is kind of an extension of what I do through first and foremost with my family, secondary and in our local assembly, but cultivating the understanding. You may want to, it could be probably described as cultural apologetics, to where we navigate the issues of the day, but having erected the lens of scripture as the gradient through which we navigate the issues of the day. That is the goal that I'm seeking to accomplish. And even being able to speak the truth, conveying biblical truth to the issues that are confronting us, also encouraging the listeners to make sure that their positions are anchored in the Word of God, as opposed to the opinions of men. And so through that, I find myself wading into issues like politics and public policy and other areas, because they're not something that we have to be afraid of, but we just have to make sure that as we engage them, we don't find ourselves leaving the scriptures on the sidelines in an effort to navigate these issues. You know, I mean, a perfect example is right now there are lots of conversations about justice, and I encourage people to make sure that they're defining their terms biblically. Now, when you say these things, what are you talking about? And bringing to the forefront, well, the Bible says, Proverbs 28:5, that wicked men cannot comprehend justice. Cannot. I mean, that's an institutional incapability.
Right.
So if we're having a conversation about justice, but yet it's being governed, driven, and dominated by people who are self-described rebels against God.
Right.
Are you really having a conversation about justice biblically?
Right.
Probably not. You know, so that's just one example of what I'm talking about in terms of developing a biblical lens through which we navigate these issues, because the goal is not merely to accomplish a temporal objective, but the goal is to exalt the King of Glory and to invite people into his eternal kingdom.
Yeah. Amen. You know, it's interesting as I look back at 15 years ago, almost, when my oldest daughter was born, society was so different back then. And it was really starting to shift sure. It was quite different than it was when I was a kid. But now 15 years later, we're looking at culture around us and we're like, what in the world is going on? And one of the things that we notice is that we have a true national identity crisis. And I never imagined, like it never would have even crossed my mind that I would have to explain to my girls, you know, boys are boys, girls are girls. You know, I mean, just all this stuff that people have no foundation for who we are in Christ. So as you're raising your kids, because you've got pretty young kids, you know, my kids are youngish too. Yours are younger. And as you're looking to the future, how do you teach your kids where their value comes from? And then how do you instill that Christ-like identity in them?
Yeah. So one of the things, and I'm pretty sure you've heard this before, as a homeschooling father, a home-based discipling father, I've been accused of sheltering my children. Mm-hmm. and I've said, yes, guilty as charged. But the difference is my sheltering is so that I can launch them accurately.
Right.
It's not to separate them from what's happening. It's to train them. And I use this analogy frequently that even in our military in the United States of America, that we seek new recruits. When new soldiers are recruited, they're not recruited and instantly put on the battlefield.
Right.
Why is that? Because a new recruit, untrained, will not be an asset, but will be a detriment in war. Mm. I tell people that I am sheltering for war because we are in spiritual warfare. And so my sheltering is to provide boot camp so that my soldiers, Lord willing, they will become Green Berets and Navy SEALs, and they will become expert at waging war spiritually so that they will not become casualties of the culture, but that they will be able to shine brightly and be effective ambassadors of the kingdom of God within the culture. And so one of the things I learned, my cousin was a banker, and I learned a long time ago that with the proliferation of counterfeit currency, when people use cash more frequently than they do now, the way that bankers were trained to detect counterfeit currency, because there are so many variations, they didn't spend any time trying to divine and superintend all of the different variations of counterfeit. They just spent all of their time handling authentic currency. Mm-hmm. By honing their skill and spending all of their time with authentic currency, it made the counterfeit stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
Made it immediately discernible, readily identifiable. And that is the approach that we endeavor to take. Instead of trying to predict all of the variations and the many multifaceted ways that the rebellious heart of a wicked, sinful mankind will present themselves, we try to spend our time delving into, and people are scared of this word, but yes, indoctrinating them.
Amen.
So that we get the doctrine of God in. That's not a bad word.
Right.
To get the doctrine of God in so that the things that violate the doctrine of God are immediately discernible, readily identifiable, and immediately cast aside. And so that is the approach that we take.
Amen. Oh, that is so beautifully said. I love that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There is a truth that all dads universally acknowledge. Fatherhood is a challenge, a glorious, righteous, wonderful challenge, but it's also really hard. It's tough to be a good dad who is wise and patient, but also doesn't suffer fools, as it were. Dr. Brian Phillips feels this keenly, and in his new podcast on the Circe Podcast Network, he hosts conversations about the important and powerful role all dads take on. It's called The Weight of Fatherhood, and on it, he'll be chatting with a wide array of guests, including psychologists, pastors, authors, professors, and friends, about the challenges, joys, goals, and frustrations that almost every dad faces, especially dads who work really hard to be decent fathers. Listen to The Weight of Fatherhood today, wherever you find your favorite podcast.
We are back with Abe, and again, talking about identity, how we raise up our kids to be basically what you're saying is salt and light.
That's right.
In this world when they're ready, not throwing right. them into battle before they're armed and ready for this battle. And, you know, I mean, people can say all day long, I shelter my kids. Yes, I do. I don't shelter them from everything, you know, and they know. You know, my now 10-year-old knows more about life and sinful ways of life than I knew when I was 20, literally. Mm. I mean, it just is shocking because it's all around her. I mean, there's no way to shelter them completely from everything. But the Lord gives us wisdom in knowing how to speak life and truth into our kids and to point out, you know, this is wrong. This is ungodly. These ways, the ways that these people are acting, the ways that they're treating one another, the things that they're saying, these are not from the Lord. And what does God's word mm-hmm. say about these things? And so on that note, I want to talk about worldview and kind of bring it back to home education, because mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about this earlier, but academics matter mm-hmm. so much, because that is what helps us. It's a tool that we have to point our kids towards Christ. But academics, just for the sake of teaching them math, science, spelling, history, on its own is empty if we don't teach from a biblical worldview. So in your family, how do you and your wife surround your children, not just in your family devotion times, but how do you teach them everything that they're learning from a biblical worldview? Like practically speaking, how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Academics do matter, but they don't matter in isolation.
Right.
So, you know, the scripture commands us to worship the Lord with all our heart, our souls, our minds, and our strength. Christianity is an intelligent faith. We don't have to check our intelligence at the door if we're going to be disciples. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's because we love the Lord with everything that we have and everything that we are. We also seek to worship him with our minds. And a perfect example, when we talk about the discipline of mathematics, we don't just talk about 2 + 2 = 4. We also go into the worldview questions. Why does 2 + 2 = 4? And then also, will 2 + 2 = 4 always?
Right.
Or can we ever expect 2 + 2 to equal anything else? And the why 2 + 2 = 4, we move our kids to understand, our children to understand that because the Lord is the creator of our universe and he's created it with order.
Amen.
When we delve into the discipline of mathematics, we are delving into a portion, not the totality, but a portion of God's mind as the creator, who is a God of order, who is a God of logical reasoning, and who is a God who is unchanging, which is why 2 + 2 will always equal 4. We seek to, whatever discipline we engage in, to lay Christ at the foundation, at the bottom of that discipline. And he is the rock that each discipline is built on. When we start talking about linguistics and language, we talk about the fact that language is a gift from God. You know, millions of years of random chance over time would not alone create a language.
That's right.
But that language is something that God has gifted us. And when we study the various disciplines, we teach our children that what we're doing is we are engaging in an aspect of the Lord's mind, and that we are endeavoring to worship him with our minds, seeing this particular portion of his mind. And what we found is that as our children become more and more passionate for the Lord, they become more voracious learners, because they desire to worship the Lord with their minds and understanding this aspect of who the creator is as he has revealed himself, man, it kind of wets their whistles. Mm-hmm. And that's not the same way. And I have children who have different learning styles, and I have one son who's kind of like me. You give him a book, leave him alone, he's good. You have one kind of like my wife. She's more of a kinesthetic learner. But having Christ as the foundation of all manner of learning, and approaching learning as an exploration, as a treasure hunt, really, into being confronted with various aspects of God's mind, it's completely transformed learning into something I wish I would have grown up with as a student, because it would have completely revolutionized how I approached the pursuit of education.
Right.
Education is discipleship, and that's the way we seek to present the various disciplines to our children.
Yeah, amen. Education is discipleship. It's all discipleship one way or another. Mm-hmm. And again, who's discipling your children? Is it you?
Yeah.
Discipling them and that, you know, training them up in the admonition of the Lord and in the truth of God's word? Or is it someone else who's raising them up with their ideas? It's been so interesting to watch what's happening right now with the virtual schools and these kids sitting in front of these computers day after day after day. And I mean, I want to say it happened probably within the first 2 weeks of these schools going, you know, virtual, where they started saying, okay, we're going to have these parents sign these commitments that they're not going to sit and watch what's being taught. What? I mean, I just...
If the parents can't watch it, that's a dead giveaway.
Right.
What are you teaching my child that you don't want me to know?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And they say, well, some of the teachers aren't comfortable knowing that the parents are there. What?
Right.
I cannot wrap my mind around why any parent would just willingly say, oh, okay, well, I'll just step out of the room and let you teach them whatever you want to teach them. And it's none of my business anyway. It is every bit of your business.
It's not only your business, it is your responsibility.
Amen.
From God. It is your responsibility. You know, I had the unfortunate opportunity, if you want to call it that, to have a conversation with some parents, because, you know, their children were coming home, they were enrolled in public schools, and they were saying, I don't know where little Johnny got that from. We don't teach him that kind of things. And, you know, and I wanted, you know, they're in pain, they're hurting. I wanted to ease up, but I had to speak the truth in love in that situation. I said, listen, if you're not discipling your children, somebody is. Somebody is doing it. That's and there's right. a principle that's laid down in Genesis that everything and every person reproduces after its own kind. So if Johnny is adopting values and qualities that you have not cultivated mm-hmm. and you don't think you know where Johnny got it from, I said, I can tell you. Yeah. Where have you been sending Johnny?
Right.
He's picking it up from where you're sending him. And then in addition to that, you're sending him there with the authority that God has given you as a parent, with the instruction for them to learn well what they're being taught where you're sending them, but you're frustrated with the results.
Right.
Yeah. And the frustration has occurred because in this instance, you have abdicated your position and you don't like what Johnny is coming home with.
Yeah.
So now a decision has to be made whether or not you're going to continue in that way or whether or not there's going to be a changing of course.
Right. Right. Well, and you know, I feel like there's not enough pastors speaking out about these things because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. They don't want to upset the boat and have people go, well, but you know what? I have my kids in school and their teacher is really nice and their teacher is a Christian. Well, that might be so. However, the school system that they're in is absolutely yeah. opposed to teaching them the truth of God's word. And those teachers' hands are tied, you know, even if they are good, wonderful people. You know, we know many of them and yeah. they can only do so much. And so that's a tough situation to be in.
Did you miss the 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo? If so, you can now have full access to the entire expo for just $10. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended. Filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. The one thing that stood out to me about each session is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful." Register today for lifetime access to the entire conference for only $10 at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
So we're just about out of time, but I would love for you to just give one last bit of encouragement to specifically dads, dads who are trying to figure out this role of family discipleship and they're feeling inadequate. And, you know, I've been married long enough. I've been married, you know, over 25 years to know that many men feel inadequate in this area, especially where they just feel like they're not enough to raise up their family and their children to become what they want them to become spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big role to fill. How can you encourage those dads?
Yeah, I would say congratulations, because I felt the same way. And isn't it amazing that when you search the scriptures, God doesn't look for the person with the most degrees, the most, you know, pharisaical training always, the person who has the most eloquent speech. You know, He takes vagabonds, you know, people that the erudite of the day, you know, thinking about Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, they were astounded because they said, man, these are ignorant and unlearned men. You know, these guys aren't qualified to engage in us in a civil discourse over the rich theological history of the Old Testament Israelites. Nevertheless, they had to find themselves corrected in a sense, but wait a minute, we take note because they have been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God understands your background, your history, the deficiencies you believe you have. And God doesn't call you in spite of those. He calls you because He knows that you will remain dependent upon Him. It is not about a humanistic sufficiency that we're seeking for. We serve an all-sufficient God.
Amen.
And when God has called us to serve in a particular role, it is He who equips us to fill the role that He calls us to. And a part of the reason why He does that is so that we live out John 15, that we remain plugged into the vine.
Yep.
He's the vine. We are the branches. We remain perpetually dependent upon Him. And He makes fruitfulness out of a circumstance that many of us would have stopped and thought there's no way that we can be what God is calling us to be. He knows that. And He calls you to it anyway. That's the pinnacle of unconditional love.
Amen. Garrett's screensaver on his phone says, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Amen.
And none of us are equipped well enough to raise this generation of kids, especially in the state of chaos that we are in. None of us are, but with God, we are. He gives us everything that we need. And that's the great thing about it. He removes that burden from us completely. And he Amen. Says, you know what? I'm going to do this with you. I'm going to do this for you. And when we are feeling weak and inadequate and insecure, God scoops us up along with our children and just says, let's do this. I'm right here with you. And he is such a faithful God. So you guys, I hope you have been encouraged. Take your kids, read God's word with them, study God's word, memorize scripture with your kids, worship together, listen to worship music. You know, it's one of the greatest things I love is just having worship music on, just playing, you know, whether it's in our car or in our home, and focus our hearts on the Lord, because more than ever, we need family discipleship right now. We need men and women of courage who are going to stand strong and say, we're going to take a stand. We are going to raise up godly leaders for this next generation, because we are losing it quickly. And if we don't start getting serious about our role as parents and stop abdicating those responsibilities to someone else, we are going to be completely lost. And I don't know that we'll be able to get it back. Though God is faithful, he's got a plan in all of this. So I don't mean to sound negative there, but it's a role to take seriously. So Abe, thank you so much for your time today. You are an absolute blessing. Thank you for your ministry and for what you do on radio. Thank you for how you lead your family and your church, and just for the influence that God that you're having in God's kingdom. So you are an absolute blessing.
Well, thank you. You're a blessing. And I so appreciate being able to participate in this podcast. It's been a blessing to me for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you guys can find out more about Abe by going to where? You listed off a bunch of things last time.
Yeah, you can find my radio program anywhere, podcast, where you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to my podcast there. Okay. I have the Hamilton Corner YouTube channel, Facebook page, on Parlay, as well as Twitter. You can follow me there at Hamilton Corner, and on Instagram at Hamilton Corner. And you can keep up with all things American Family Association at afa.net.
Awesome. We will, again, put those links in the show notes so you guys can find out more about Abe. Thank you guys for listening today. Have a fantastic rest of your week. Please take time to pray for our family and the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked. We would love it if you would do that. And if you have time, well, maybe you can make time, because no one ever has time. If you can make a few minutes, find a few minutes in your day, we would love it if you would leave a review for this podcast and share it with your friends. Send this podcast link to some of your friends and just say, hey, listen to this. I think it will be encouraging to you. We would appreciate that. So thank you guys. Have a great rest of your week, and we will see you back here next week. Bye.